about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Cut. Kyle, I don't feel like we're capturing the essence of the show right now.
You don't call cut. You're not the director, man.
Okay, no, I'm sorry, and I respect you as a director, but quite frankly, I think you're losing control a little bit, and I have a better idea than what you're giving me right now. So let's cut and start again, starting now. Cut and action, go.
All right, let's roll sound.
And also roll sound.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Computers are mostly pointless, but that Yelp thing gave me a great idea on how to criticize people and places. I am composing strongly worded letters about things I disapprove of, and I am using the internet to get addresses where I can send them.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
That's right. You don't know.
And now,
I'll probably have his picture there with a sudden...
Our feature presentation.
That's shocking. That shocks me every time I hear that.
I know it.
And I think, what could I possibly have been going for? I don't know. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is the 16th of April.
We got to get Muggs out of here, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean permanently?
Well, obviously permanently, but I think one day at a time, you know, like they say in AA, I think it would be a good start to get him out of here today because he is not a guy who works well sick. He's not a guy who can ignore that and focus on the task. He's a guy who has to revel in it and roll around in it and complain about it every minute of the day.
Well, sometimes, Bean, it depends on how sick you are.
Sure. Yeah, but not
it's not our problem.
Not everybody handles it the same way.
Well, not fair. Our problem, Lisa. Be sick and go home. That's what I say. Right? Who's with me?
He's laying down in the back of the room. He may be dead.
Wow, this is just getting better and better.
Best case scenario.
And Kevin has returned. He was out yesterday with what Cat Corbett is affectionately dubbing the Coachella SARS, which I think is a great...
Oh, I like it.
A lot of K-Rock employees came down with mysterious illnesses after the weekend. A lot of time out in the desert, you don't feel so good when you get back to civilization.
Yeah.
But
I'm not laying in the back of the room, though. I'm saying
no.
That.
See, you're a trooper, man. Right. You're coming in. You're getting the job done.
Well, we'll see. But I'm here.
Hey, before we get started on today's excellent new Kevin and Bean show, here's a strange story. On face value, it just looks like a cute, you know, human interest story, but a lot of people are questioning whether it's even possible what happened. We go to Lincoln, Nebraska. A 3-year-old boy somehow wanders out of his home while his mom is in the bathroom. She comes out and calls, searches everywhere frantically for him. You can imagine the panic. Your kid is gone. She calls 911. About the same time, and it doesn't say in the article how far away the bowling alley is, but it must be nearby because Madsen's Bowling and Billiards in Lincoln, Nebraska, said a customer alerted them that a young child was stuck inside the claw machine in the entryway to the bowling alley.
Oh, no.
Did you say 3 years old?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, what appears to have happened is exactly what you're thinking as you put the pieces together, is that this kid walked out of his house, somehow walked down the street into the bowling alley, and then crawled up inside the claw machine. Now, for folks who don't know what a claw machine, it's a big glass box or plexiglass box or something like that that has a bunch of toys in it, and then it's got a claw that you navigate from the outside to try to get a toy. You put money in, you try to get a toy.
But the clamp is never strong enough to get a toy.
Right.
So you just put money in and you try a bunch, and then you turn around and walk away.
Right. Does it seem – look, you may have more experience, Kevin, with the claw machines than I do, but does it seem like a 3-year-old kid could climb up inside one of those? Because you'd have to climb into the little area that the toys fall out of.
I can't imagine, but they do have pretty big like stuffed animals and stuff sometimes.
I mean, I guess that's what happened.
So was he just sitting in there like one – like?
He was playing. He's standing. There's a photo of him. He's actually standing in the machine. He's just playing with some of the toys.
That little kid rules.
Yeah.
He does rule.
I don't have enough toys. I'm going to go down to the bowling alley and help myself.
It's so bizarre, though, that this whole, all the things that fell into place to make this happen is just such a bizarre story. By the way, police investigated and said that, in their opinion, the mother acted quickly and appropriately, and there was no indications of neglect. She wasn't cited or anything like that. It was just, it's hard to keep track of your kids all the time. Yeah, sometimes they're going to get out.
There is panic time. I'll tell you that. There is panic time. And you go, whoa, what's going on?
It's so weird to think that you could climb up into one of those machines. That's all. I'm just surprised by that.
Yeah, that is bizarre.
But he's got a funny story to tell when he gets old.
Imagine somebody else walking by going, really? For a quarter? I'm a baby?
How much money do I have to put in to win that kid?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is going very poorly. He doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
NHL playoffs, best time of the year.
Right?
That's all I'm saying. Tickets to see the Ducks. I believe they play Dallas.
Tonight. Kings open on the road tomorrow in San Jose. Okay. Ducks tonight with Dallas, yeah. And by the way, there's that player, I can't remember his name right now, but there's that one player that just got traded to Anaheim from Dallas a couple of weeks ago. How bizarre must that be for him?
Yeah, that has to be weird all the time for those guys.
Yep.
Just bizarre. All of a sudden, you're wearing the opposite jersey.
He played all season long with the Stars, and now the playoffs are here. He's playing against them.
Yeah, that's weird. Bill Maher on the program today.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Love Bill.
Lana Del Rey has a new song.
Yes, she does.
And Ralph loves it. Is that accurate? That's just my guess. I think Ralph loves it.
He was not pleased to see the return of Lana Del Rey. I like the song very much. I like her very much.
But, obviously.
Some disagree.
I met somebody who went all the way out to Coachella to see her.
Just to see her?
Yes.
Really?
Now, that's weird. I mean, that's a long way to go. And then you got to park and then a long way to walk to see her at a location that isn't that great for her type of music.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? But also on today's show, we have Jordan Gavaris. I don't remember the character's name. He's the gay brother.
He's Felix.
Felix on Orphan Black.
Mm-hmm. He's fantastic.
Right.
Oh, I love that show so much. When does that come back?
Saturday. You're going to be so surprised when he comes in, Kevin, that he is, he may or may not be gay in real life. He's not nearly as gay as Felix is on the show, but he's also not British.
Really?
Yeah, I know. He's as American as you and I are.
It's about time somebody, you heard him in real life and they were actually American.
That never happens.
Almost every time it's the opposite.
That's right.
Yes, I had a bloody good time.
He's a very good actor on a terrific show. We're so excited about the return of Orphan Black.
Cannot wait for that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Get out!
He's going.
He's really leaving.
Now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Muggs is leaving.
Go!
Permanent, right?
I wish. I just had to get that out of my system. I had to pretend it was permanent. I had to feel all those emotions that I could feel if he was actually leaving for good.
Ralph is yelling at him like he's a raccoon on the porch of his house or something like that. Hey, time for the first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What you talking about, Ralph?
Except raccoons are actually functional animals who get things done.
Well, they do. That's true.
Some people shouldn't go and do things. I'm saying if you can't go to Coachella and then come back and get back to your life, then don't go to Coachella.
In general, that's a pretty good rule.
I think so.
Yeah.
Everybody's coming back, the walking wounded. Everybody comes back from that damn festival. God's sakes, people.
Kevin, was it the dust storm? Is that what really knocked so many people down this time?
I think Saturday night dust just all night in your mouth, in your eyes,
in your
beehole. It was everywhere. I think that made it a lot more difficult. Yes. That wasn't my issue. But
these people's lungs aren't filled with sand when they come back.
I think they are. I'm pretty sure they are.
Just laying to,
I'm pretty sure they're just breathing pure sand at
Maybe
this
it's
point.
All the Molly and vodka.
Oh,
maybe that's part of the problem.
Ralph, how are you going to go there?
And the after parties, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. May the F it be. I don't either. That's a lot of letters in there.
It is.
All right, let's get to the showbiz news, shall we? Speaking of Coachella, nice work, Kevin.
What?
Nice work.
I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Apparently many people at the Coachella Music Festival saw a little lady named Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah, never ran into her.
Taking a flying leap off the wagon, according to RadarOnline.com.
This was the fear when we heard she was going.
She had the fear as well?
Just maybe not a great environment for a recovering alcoholic.
Witnesses say she looked completely out of it. At Coachella last weekend, could not stand up straight, was chain-smoking cigarettes, and sent several friends to the bar for a round of vodkas and sodas. Who could those friends have been? Don't worry, Lindsay, I'll get the next round of
I didn't see her.
I've already texted, here to go, bad, God, bat.
I did. Now I have to go hold a pot of bus, said one witness.
One witness did not say that.
Yes, one witness did.
Are you drunk?
Meanwhile, Mom Lohan, Dina, had to face the music yesterday in the Long Island court. She pled guilty to drunken driving and speeding charges. Well, if you're going to drive drunk, by all means, just hit the accelerator. Just speed up.
Go as fast as possible.
77 miles per hour in a 55 zone. The 51-year-old Dina Lohan. She's only 51. Boy, that family does not age well.
No kidding. No.
Will have her license revoked, pay $3,000 in fines, do 100 hours of community service, and attend a drunken driver program and victim impact session. I guess you get to confront the people who have been victims of drunk drivers. In addition, Dina will have to get an interlock device attached to her car, which she'll have to blow into before driving to test her blood alcohol level. I thought she had her license revoked. Why does she need to get behind the wheel of a car and blow into the thing?
That's confusing.
It is very confusing, Lisa.
Maybe she can.
I'm
going to
put our crack staff to do some more research into this story and find out what's going on.
Okay. Sometimes they let you still drive to work, but I don't know if she has a job.
But if your license is revoked, you can't drive anywhere, right? Can't drive without a license.
No, I guess not.
Her lawyer said, in my client's defense, Your Honor, there's no way her driving is half as dangerous as her parenting. So I think he may have a good point. There were rumors circulating that Chelsea Handler was going to replace Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, that's absurd.
As the host of the Late Late Show after the Late
Show.
Is
it also stupid and dumb, Kevin?
It is absurd, stupid and dumb.
All of the above.
Well, the rumor mill ramped up to 11 yesterday when Chelsea posted a picture of a bunch of papers on Instagram with her dog. And all the papers had the CBS logo on it. Captioned business meeting she sent out. CBS quickly jumped into the fray and said, no. They said she is never and has never been a candidate to replace Craig Ferguson. They have simply been talking to her in their syndication group, perhaps giving her a daytime talk show or something like that. So it was a business meeting, but it looks like Craigie's position is safe for now.
But you know she put it up there so that of people would think that's what
absolutely.
Was happening.
With all the maelstrom that's surrounding CBS and their changes at late night, you know she was trying to get some attention. Desperate whore. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our own Kat Corbett. Kat Corbett celebrates her birthday today.
Yay!
She looked spectacularly alert and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed yesterday as well.
She did crawl into the studio.
Even in the BMW, it's hard to get back to work.
So she said.
Yes. Pope Benedict, the, I want to say, 16th?
Yes.
He's 87 years old
Wait,
today.
He's the ex-pope.
The old pope, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the one you love. Not Francis.
Yeah, he's the Nazi pope.
Not Francis the talking pope.
Right.
Bill Belichick, coach for the New England Patriots football team, 62 years old.
Oh, boy, does he party.
Oh,
man, does he
was
he
at Coachella.
I'm sure he was.
He had a glow stick coming out of his butt. He's just doing blow and just dancing around in a suit made out of bees.
I don't even know. He had a suit made of bees. I want that.
Of course you do. Ellen Barkin is 60 years old today. David Perner of Soul Asylum turns 50. Actor-comedian Martin Lawrence is 49. John Cryer, also 49 today. Peter Billingsley, remember little Ralphie from The Christmas Story?
Yeah.
You'll shoot eye out. He's now 43 years old.
Oh, my God.
Still got both eyes.
Still has both eyes, but no prostate. Akon is 41 years old, and actor Lucas Haas celebrates his 38th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Round one of the Mother Effin' Stanley Cup playoffs start tonight. Anaheim Ducks taking on the Dallas Stars. We are looking for Ducks fans right now. If that's you and you'd like to be at the sold-out game at the Honda Center tonight, you can give us a call. We'll give you a chance to earn those tickets at 1-800-520-1067. That is coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show.
All right, let's talk about what is this Bob Dylan Joker Man? Those words don't go together.
Not at all.
Well, he has a very popular song called Joker Man. I think that's what they're referencing. But there's a Bob Dylan fan site. There are lots of Bob Dylan fan sites. I mean, this guy is discussed as much on the internet as almost any musician out there. I mean,
still?
so much to say about Bob Dylan and his life and his career and his songs. But there's a new aspect to one of the sites. A website called Expecting Rain has started a page where fans who go to Bob Dylan shows will write in and tell what jokes Bob told on stage that night.
Now, wait, is he known for that?
Not to me, he's not. Oh. I've seen him a bunch of times in concert. I don't remember him ever saying anything funny. But apparently sometimes he gets a wild hair up his butt and decides he's going to entertain the crowd with more than just his music. So they write in and they say, you know, for instance, they say, here's a show I saw in at Western Connecticut University in 1997. When he introduced Bucky Baxter in the band, he said, when I first met Bucky, he didn't have a penny to his name. I told him to get another name. But that's the kind of joke that Bob Dylan tells on stage.
But is that website worthy? Let's all put up our funny jokes at Bob?
I think people are obsessed with this guy, with everything that Bob Dylan says. Here's a woman who wrote in, I saw him June 22nd, 1999 in Hollywood. He apologized saying, I almost didn't make it tonight. I had a flat tire. There was a fork in the road.
Oh, my God.
Wow. This is a song I wrote for my ex-wife. She was so conceited, I used to call her Mimi.
That's bad.
Because that's bad.
Me.
Bad.
That's not
so
funny.
We wanted to find out more about this aspect of Bob Dylan, because we've had Bob on the show many, many times throughout the years here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I don't remember him. He just doesn't seem like the kind of guy who tells jokes. You know, that's a surprise to me to see how much he's done that. Hey, Bob, welcome back, my friend.
Yeah, Kevin, hi.
Well, we're doing great. We're just we're a little bit surprised by seeing how many funny things you've said on stage over the years.
Yeah, I'm funny.
Semi-funny. I mean,
I'm always funny. I'm a funny guy. Hey, two Jews walk into a bar.
Yes. Yes. Wait, that's the whole joke?
Well, they don't drink a lot, usually.
Right, but...
Jews aren't known for drinking.
Right,
that's
but...
the Irish.
That's also not a joke.
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, do you pride yourself? Do you come up with jokes before and try to work them in? Is it something...
I write all my own material.
You write them all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I go on stage and I say, my drummer is the best drummer on this stage. Thank you very much.
I don't get
so
why that's
hey, because what did Clark Kent turn into when he got hungry? Superman.
Okay, but these are just
good jokes.
Talk about shut up and sing. I mean, really, who wants to hear you out there telling these jokes instead of doing another song?
My next song is a love song. The band loves to play it.
No, it's just not a joke.
Lisa yes, I'm with no. Lisa. No.
Lisa says no, Bob.
Hey, so a horse walks into a bar.
Why?
Exactly. They don't drink at all.
Right, but, okay, but that's just
that's funny.
It's not funny. Were they with the Jews?
Yeah.
That doesn't help. Bob, you're not funny. You should probably not tell jokes.
So anyway... Koala walks up to an Aborigine. Yes.
Okay.
And he says, hey, we live together in the same country. Why don't we get along? And
yeah.
The Aboriginal says, "What? Hey.
You haven't even finished that one.
I'm still working on that one.
You don't get a rim shot for an unfinished shot.
You got to finish the joke first, Bob. What did the Aboriginal say to the koala bear? I need to know.
He said, hey, what? What's the name of that leaf you eat a lot of? And the koala says,
yes. The koala bear says.
Tea leaves.
That's right? Not a joke.
Tea leaves. I get them from a little place called Mercy, Australia.
Right, Ed?
But when I make the tea, I don't use one of those strainers.
Right. But now it's turned into just a long story. There's no jokes end with kind of convoluted.
I've heard about that. The quality of mercy is not strained.
Oh, my God.
All right, Bob. Good luck with that.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday morning. It's Stanley Cup playoff season time. Now, Kevin, your Kings are playing tomorrow night in San Jose.
Yep.
Ralph, how about the Flyers? Who are they playing?
They're playing the New York Giants in Madison Square Garden New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night.
All right. And close to home, round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Anaheim Ducks are going to be the Dallas Stars in town. And that is going to be tonight. Sold out at the Honda Center. We always say this every year, playoff time. Nothing like seeing hockey in real life. That's just one of those things in person.
Especially
playoff hockey, right. So we're looking for Ducks fans right now at 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to win your way into the Honda Center tonight with a game we like to call He Shoots, He Scores.
He Shoots, He Scores! Run, Forrest! Run!
All right, the callers are on the line. Ralph, what do they need to know?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a phrase. That phrase is either a sex move or it is a hockey term. A sex move or a hockey term. All you need to do is identify whether it is from sex or from hockey.
So it's hockey moves or adult grooves? Is that what you would say, Ralph?
That was one of the possible names.
That's what Dave, the King of Mexico, came up with yesterday as the name for this game. Yes.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, we mocked him roundly.
All right, good. All right, who's our first contestant today, Kevin?
Let's start with Paris. Hi there.
Hi,
Hey, Paris. Here is your phrase. I need to know, is it a sex move or is it a hockey term, okay? The bullwinkle. The bullwinkle.
That's a sex term.
You're absolutely right, sir.
LA face with an Oakland booty.
The bullwinkle, by the way, is when you're having sex with a girl and your friend is hiding in the closet and you're behind her and you give him the high sign. You put your hands up to your head like antlers and you do this while you're looking at him.
Why would you ever do that?
You wouldn't. Because it's fun to like give a signal to your buddy who's watching, and then the girl doesn't know she's watching.
You wouldn't do that.
All right, so he's in. He's won.
Yeah, he's won. Tickets. He's in. You shoot your score.
We got more.
Let's go to Steven. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Steven?
Yeah, hello?
Hey, Steven.
Hey, morning.
Good morning, sir. The five hole. The five hole.
Love that one. Sex move.
No, I'm sorry. That's a hockey move.
Oops, he doesn't shoot and he doesn't score.
That's the space between the goalie's pads.
I wonder where Steven thinks the five hole is on a woman. I'm concerned about that.
I feel bad for whoever he's trying that on. Let's go to Stephanie. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. How are you today?
Good, Stephanie. Here's your phrase. Stack the pads. Stack the pads.
Hockey term.
That's right.
He shoots, he scores! Make me a bicycle clown!
Congratulations, you're going to see the Ducks play. Stacking pads, of course, is when the goalie goes to the side and he puts his pads on top of each other. He stacks the pads.
All right, two down. We got a couple more pairs to give away here.
Let's go to Brandon. Hi.
Hey, what it do?
Hey, Brandon. The fish hook. The fish hook.
I'm going to go with sex term.
That's right.
Did you get scores? You did the motorboat, didn't you?
I can't really tell you what the fish hook is.
Oh, no, really?
That's all right. Yeah.
That's all right. Let's just move right on. Let's go to Kelly. Hi.
How you doing, guys? Lisa
Good.
May.
Good.
Good, Kelly. Here's your phrase. Third man in.
That's a hockey term.
That's right.
Damn it.
Unless you're Lisa, by the way.
Third man is when two guys are fighting and another guy joins in. He always gets the penalty if he's the third man in.
I just feel like the third man in could be either. I really do.
I do too.
Right?
Well, Lisa knows. I know for a fact it could be. But
all right. So that's three, I think. Three winners already. Again, if you're just joining us, we're playing tonight for Anaheim Ducks versus Dallas Stars at the Honda Center. Game one of round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Who's next?
Tim is next. Hi there.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good, sir. Dump and chase. The dump and chase.
That is definitely a hockey term.
Did you discard? Pour some sugar on me.
That's true. It's when you shoot the puck into the offensive zone and then go in after it.
I got to tell you, though, it really sounds
dirty.
If you don't know hockey, that sounds like a sex move.
The dump and chase, yeah.
Thank you, Tim. Right. Congratulations.
One more pair up for grabs.
All right.
We don't have any more.
No, Dave says that's it.
Oh, I thought we had five.
Yep.
Lines 1, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All right.
All right, then.
So we're done. That was anticlimactic. Sorry, you guys.
Digital scores! There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Reggie Hammond.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
One of the most consistently entertaining shows I watch is HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. And the star of that show, Mr. Maher himself, joins us right after the top of the hour here at K-Rock. By the way, he's doing some local stand-up, Kevin. He doesn't play in L.A. all that often. He's going to be at the Nokia on Friday night. So we'll talk about that and a bunch of other stuff with Bill coming up. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Bill's in trouble with the Gay Mafia, by the way.
Well, what's going on?
Oh, did you hear? Who is it? He said the... He did the story about the COO or CEO of Mozilla.
Okay.
Who took the job, and then it was found out that he had donated $1,000 towards legislation to stop gay marriage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Okay. And there was an uproar amongst the gay and lesbian and transgender bisexual community, and they petitioned for his dismissal. And he ended up resigning from the job. Walked away.
Really?
Yeah. So they covered that on Bill's show. And he said, you don't mess with the gay mafia, they'll have you whacked. And then the gay community got upset with that comment, saying they were just applying their pressure that any special interest group can apply.
As for this show, we love everything they do.
Yes, we love gays.
Big fan.
I am gay.
Right.
As often as possible. So.
And mafia, I think, is an unkind term.
But the reason I brought it up is because Out Magazine released their 8th annual power list of powerful gays and lesbians.
Seacrest's got to be number one, right?
No, he's not on the list this year. I was shocked. And I was surprised a magazine like Out would differentiate and separate gays and lesbians from other powerful people, because it seems as if you want to be just accepted for who you are without making a big deal about it. Why would you separate yourself by making a special list?
It does sort of
I guess at the same time, they're also proud of the gay and lesbian community for their achievements. Anyway, here's your list of the top 10, according to Out Magazine, most powerful gays and lesbians. Number 10, newscaster Robin Roberts of Good Morning America.
Sure.
Number 10, football player Michael Sam, first openly gay football recruit who stepped out of the closet this this season and made a big splash. TV host Andy Cohen from the Bravo Network. Actor Neil Patrick Harris was seventh on the list.
Wow, I thought he'd be higher.
Writer, director, producer Ryan Murphy, man who brought us Glee and also American Horror Story. Sixth on the list. Journalist Glenn Greenwald was fifth. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin was fourth on the list. News anchor and commentator Rachel Maddow was third on the list.
Wow.
I'm stunned because she doesn't have that big an audience.
No, not on MSNBC, she doesn't.
Apple CEO Tim Cook was second on the list.
I didn't even know he was gay.
There you go. Number one, most powerful gay and or lesbian.
Can I guess?
Sure.
I got to guess.
Demi Lovato.
No, Demi Lovato.
Is it Anderson Cooper?
It's not Anderson Cooper. He didn't make the top 10. I was surprised.
That's who I was expecting. This whole list was Anderson Cooper.
Nope.
Wow. It
wasn't on the top 10. I was surprised
hold
by that
on.
As well.
Who would be... who are we missing? Lisa, come on. You're good at this.
Yeah, Lisa was a lesbian once at a Halloween party. She didn't know. She carried keys and had cigarettes rolled up in her sleeve, like all lesbians do.
Who are we not thinking of, you guys?
No.
It's hard to get bigger than the CEO of Apple.
You're going to slap your head when I tell you. You're literally going to slap your head and go, ugh.
Because we should have known it?
Yeah.
I got nothing. I got nothing. Who you got?
Ellen DeGeneres. Talk show host Ellen DeGeneres.
Don't!
He just slapped
her. Why are we idiots?
I've been asking that question for a long time. Miley Cyrus is in the hospital. Billboard.com says she had a severe allergic reaction to antibiotics she took to help her get over the flu. Antibiotics don't really help with the flu, Miley. Don't do that again. She had to cancel her concert at the Sprint Center in Kansas City last night, which is good for Kansas City. And she had to cancel her show in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Can you imagine you already have the flu?
Yeah.
Now you have a severe allergic reaction on top of that.
Yeah. You know, you can keep from getting the flu. Don't lick everything. Keep your tongue in your mouth.
Obviously.
You llama tooth bitch. More music news. What's going on with AC/DC? What's that all about? What's this? What's that? Several reports say that AC/DC is splitting up. The band is disbanding, consciously disbanding. And they claim, the sources anyway, claim that it's because rhythm guitarist Malcolm Young has suffered a stroke. And he can no longer play as well as he likes. So they've made the decision to break up the band after nearly 41 years. Now, here's the thing. All these rumors are swirling, but there has been no confirmation or even comment by AC/DC or anyone connected with the band. So they're not really sure how this story got started. Malcolm allegedly had the stroke 3 weeks ago, which left a blood clot in his brain, say sources.
Wow.
There was supposed to be a press conference yesterday to make all of this official, or at least clear up the rumors, but that didn't happen. So no one really knows what's happening with the legendary rock band AC/DC, but we'll keep you posted.
Now, is this true, Ralph? I heard that this is one of those very few bands that said, if one of us is out, if one of us dies, if one of us quits, the whole band's going to break up. We're not going to go on without you. We will never replace a member in AC/DC.
Right. That's why they said this was a medical decision, because that you're right, Bean. They have always had that agreement that we are
That's very rare.
One for all and all for one.
Just like Kiss.
Just like that. Right? Just like the Rolling Stones.
You know, Led Zeppelin did do that, though, when their drummer died. They said, that's it, we're done. That's the end of the band. And with, you know, just two or three exceptions where they got together and for charity, they never played again.
Good news for Lisa.
Yes.
They have announced the release date for the sequel to Magic Mike.
Love that movie.
The movie, of course, about male strippers. It'll be in theaters next summer over the 4th of July weekend. So get your calendars out and circle July 3rd.
Yeah, let me make a note.
And Tatum Channing, he'll be in it, right?
He will be in it. Of course, he wrote the original. He co-wrote this script as well.
Mm-hmm.
The title of this sequel, Magic Mike XXL.
Ooh.
Extra, extra large.
I like it.
Of course you do. Channing Tatum.
It's Tatum Channing, Tatum Ralph. Channing. Get it right.
Don't you know anything?
Will be returning. No word on whether Matthew McConaughey or any of the other stars will return as well. I'm guessing most of them will. Maybe McConaughey won't because
he seems to have a
high profile, high quality career these days with his Oscar and
whatnot. Lisa has very little information, but when it comes to this movie, she knows it inside
He's not
and
coming
out.
Back,
she
I'm
knows
pretty
the
sure.
casting. She knows everything.
Maybe Matthew Bomer and those guys will be back, so we'll have to wait and see. Good news for people who like the XXL.
Who doesn't?
I don't know.
I didn't see it, but I heard that movie was great.
It's very entertaining.
It is. Yeah, it's actually a really fun movie.
Even if you're not into male strippers. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lucas Haas is 38 years old today. Singer Akon turns 41. Peter Billingsley, who was Little Ralphie in The Christmas Story, that perennial classic, then went on to be a very successful producer. That's what he does now. 43 years old today. John Cryer from Two and a Half Men is 49. Martin Lawrence, also 49. David Perner of Soul Asylum turns 50 today. Ellen Barkin is 60. She's a pretty good-looking 60 right there.
For a hammerhead shark.
Stop it.
Bill For Belichick. A woman whose eyes are on the Stop opposite it. Sides of her head.
You wrong.
They're just above her ears. Look Stop at her. It. Her eyes are just above her ears.
Bill Belichick, Patriots coach, 62 years
Can't
old.
Sneak up on Ellen Barkin. That's all I'm saying. She bonkers. Can see from anywhere in the room.
Your eyes are not bonkers.
Bonkers.
And our former Pope, Pope Benedict.
Bonkers.
16th does not have bonkers eyes either. How often do you get to talk about a retired Pope?
Never.
No.
That never happens.
Well, it's been 600 years, so this it's our first chance.
Well, I remember back when we were on the air 600 years ago, we mentioned it, I think.
I don't think we were.
I think so. I think Jimmy was still our sports guy then.
Oh, okay.
Pope Benedict the 16th is 87 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Bill Maher, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good.
I'm glad you're on. We have much to discuss in just a few minutes, but let's get the business out of the way first, because you're returning to your first love this Friday night at the Nokia Theater at LA Live. You're doing some stand-up. 35 years you've been doing stand-up now, Bill.
It's always my first love, yes. You know, you never forget your first love. And, I love it, you know. I mean, I'm always dragging my ass around the country. I'm like, why can't I do my own city once in a while? And I can, but yes, I've been to Alabama twice already this year.
I'm so surprised by this. I mean, I know that stand-up gives you a thrill that you don't get from hosting a television show.
Right.
You hear about this.
Put up with those guests. Yak, yak, yak.
And you hear about it from so many comedians, you know, no matter whether it's Seinfeld during his run or Jay Leno during his, they all say, I still want to get out there on the weekends and talk to the people, just us in a room, and there's nothing that replicates that.
Well, you know, there's a story that they once asked Bob Hope why he still did it, and he said, because the gardener doesn't applaud. but, you know, the truth is that actually the comedians who are still doing it are very rare. You know, I mean, I started, we all did, you know, Jay and Jerry and all of us who, I mean, they started a little earlier than me in the 70s, but I started in the 80s, and most of the guys we started with aren't doing it. It's a very rare thing that people continue with this, and it's a shame because all the pain in stand-up is at the beginning. You know, you might as well stick with it and redeem that at some point.
Yeah, and I'm also surprised to know that you are still a guy who takes it very seriously. You don't just go out there and make a buck because you're a name on TV.
Oh,
I mean,
oh yeah,
you literally are watching your performances after every one to see what you could have done better. And that's,
I mean, you know, I never really changed the method. You know, is what it is. It's analysis. You know, I mean, if you're gonna keep doing it and be good at it, you have to do it that way. It's not the kind of thing. An act is like a garden. If you don't tend it, you know, all the time, weeds grow in it. And when I mean weeds, what I mean is you're still doing Herman Cain jokes.
Yes, yes.
Know, you know, 2 years after he's, you know, you're never going to catch me doing anything, you know, that's not fresh and or really funny, you know, because that's what stand-up is, too. You know, I mean, that's the difference between a talk show and stand-up is that, you know, stand-up is just the jokes, just the really great jokes. And even jokes that you can't tell on HBO. People say, what do you mean you can't? You can say anything on HBO. Absolutely not. there are different circles. Let me put it that way. There are things I can say on, like, a show like Jimmy Fallon, which is very broad audience. You know, that I mean, I wouldn't tell every joke I tell on HBO on Jimmy Fallon, but I wouldn't tell every joke I tell in stand-up on HBO. And then there are jokes that I would tell to my friends that I wouldn't even do in stand-up. And then there are things I think to myself I wouldn't even say to my friends.
Now, have you ever been, so many comedians in recent years have been on the wrong end of political correctness where people, even if they're only saying something to real people in a nightclub, have gotten in trouble and there have been people who have tried to ban them or run them out of town.
Yes.
Have you run into any of that with your act?
Of course. I mean, you know, I mean, I had a whole thing with Sarah Palin a couple of years ago, and I'm not going to go through it because I don't want to get her excited again. Yes, and I'm not the only one. I mean, this has happened to, was it Daniel Tosh or something?
That's right. That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
And somebody else was speaking in a nightclub. Oh, poor Michael Richards. No,
right.
I'm kidding about that one. But you know, I think what all the comedians would say is, it is a shame that we live in this age of Twitter and whatever, where you have no sort of comedic privacy, shall we say, where you can work something out. That's what a nightclub is for. So that, you know, you could, a small club anyway, so that, you know, you can work out the stuff. And you should feel free. You shouldn't be feeling like, oh, if I take one step over the line. Well, you know what? You don't know where the line is unless you occasionally take a step over it. To have these people who, I mean, I don't care about the NSA. You know what I care about? I care about douchebags who look and find you anywhere you are and want to, like, tattletale on you no matter what you're doing. Oh, look, Bill Maher was in a strip club. Twitter and pictures. You know, it's very annoying. Not that I go to strip clubs anymore. Theoretically.
Sure, yeah. This is the voice of our friend Bill Maher here on the Kevin Demean Show. We're talking about a show at the Nokia Theater at LA Live. Tickets as low as just $35, by the way, through Axis.com if you want to see him on Friday night. Have you seen your crowds change over the years as you become so well-known for political talk, though, because of the HBO show? Are there people who think you're funny but won't see you because they can't stand your politics?
Well, there's certainly have always been lots of people who can't stand me. You know, that's the kind of act I've always been, you know, a little polarizing, love or hate. Yes, there are. What I'm always surprised at, though, is that there are conservative people. We had a California congressman on Friday night on Real Time, Duncan Hunter, you know, who I don't agree with on very much, but I really liked him. And the reason he did the show, he said, was, you know, he's been a longtime fan. Of course, he had to point out that I'm old. Hey, man, I've been watching you since I was a kid. Okay, great. You know, that's more amazing to me, is that there are conservatives who, you know, even though that they don't agree with me on most things, they will come to see you if you are funny. But yes, there are, you know, like legions of people who just really can't stand me. I was in Kansas City on Sunday, and the God hates people, of course, organized a protest, as they always do, although it rained. So they didn't show up, which tells you something about their commitment. I'm Satan, but if it rains, we can't come out to protest.
You know, one of the things that I always like about your show, Bill, is that you are grateful that people who will come on your program with a completely different of opinion, and you treat them respectfully, and they do you as well. But does it ever get personal when somebody like Bill O'Reilly comes out, like he did just this week, and talk about your stunning stupidity on an issue? Do you guys ever, like, seriously dislike each other, or is it all just, hey, we're arguing over principles here?
It depends. There are some people I dislike. Bill O'Reilly's not one of them, because I feel like I grew up with the Bill O'Reilly type. He's from Long Island. I'm from New Jersey. I knew that guy. He's not overly burdened by great intelligence, and I get that. You know, Bill O'Reilly's the guy who goes, oh, of course there's a God. How do I know? The moon. Look at it. How did it get there? Okay, let's just watch one episode of Cosmos, shall we, Bill? I don't mind that, and I don't know what Bill O'Reilly said this week. Last week he was saying something about he was very upset about my little rant I did on the show about Noah. And
yes,
how stupid that was.
And God was a mass murderer. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he was very angry about that because he's such a moral, religious guy. You know. First of all, we both know that it's probably, to be perfectly honest, and that's what we do on your show, good for both of us, because
it
creates publicity, and, you know, it's sort of like gays and Christians. They kind of needed each other for a while because, you know, if you, God hates blank.
That's right.
You've got to have something there to hate.
Hey, speaking of Real Time with Bill Maher in our final moments here with Bill, I love the show. I can't believe it's been on 12 years already.
Thank you. Yeah, I know.
But when you had the girls from Pussy Riot on, speaking of last week's show, weren't you so surprised how hot Nadia is?
I was not, because I had seen them before, and I had dinner with them the Sunday before.
She cleans up nice in America, though.
I had met her, yes, personally, and I thought the same thing. When I was going home, I was saying to myself, my God, why isn't this girl on the cover of Vogue and Cosmo and Vanity Fair? I mean, this chick has got to get representation.
I would think so, too. And I was just so surprised that they are going back to Russia. I mean, I would have looked at this as a defection opportunity. But they want to go back and they want to change their country.
That is what is, and that's the other thing that we love about them so much, that is so admirable, that they could, of course, take it. They could just say, and of course they already did a couple of years in prison.
Right.
So it's not like anybody can say you haven't paid your dues. They did the hunger riots. They took the beatings. We saw it on TV, the Cossacks coming in. And they could say, hey, we did our part. You know, I mean, it wasn't exactly Nelson Mandela time, but time is time. I mean, you know, you and I haven't been to prison. I don't know if we could take 2 years.
No. Well, it was a great interview. I mean, you really do. You get some terrific stuff over there. Real Time with Bill Maher airs Friday nights at 10 on HBO. It is off this week. Bill's going to be working elsewhere in town at the Nokia Theater at LA Live. A great live show. I had the pleasure of going to see your When You Ride Alone, You Ride with Bin Laden tour a couple of years ago, and that was so much fun.
Okay.
But you'll love Bill doing stand-up. Tickets start as low as just $35 through AXS.com. Let's not take it so long before your next visit, Bill. Yeah, anytime, my friend.
Bean, I really thank you very much. Say hi.
Thanks for coming on, sir.
Okay,
have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 728.
That song is the reason K-Rock is the station that everyone can agree on at work, by the way.
That's correct. Hey, we're going to hook you up with access to see The Neighborhood. They are coming to the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock in less than a week, next Tuesday, April 22nd at 5 p.m. You can win tickets from The Kevin and Bean Show next hour, or you can go to KROQ.com for another chance to win. We were talking a couple days ago about, what was the topic that got us
into? Someone saved your life.
Someone saved your life, right, man. So a girl called in, she talked about how she needed the Heimlich right at midnight, and we were like, what was going on in your house that you started choking at midnight? And she explained this story to us that we had never heard of this tradition before.
Well, it was New Year's Eve, and, you know, my mom has this theory about eating grapes till seconds down to midnight, and, you know, I always have to hear about it every year to go buy the damn grapes. So,
eat grapes, why?
Because she has this theory about, like, eating 12 grapes, you know, in every second until it gets to midnight.
and it's one for every month, I guess.
What the F is happening in your house?
So then we got a bunch of tweets from people saying, thank God, I thought my family was the only one that did it. Got another one that said, mainly a Mexican tradition.
It's really a thing.
It's yes. actually a Spanish tradition. It started back in 1895 in Madrid. So it's something that has been going on in Spain and then to other Spanish-speaking countries around the world ever since then. But I'd never heard of it before. And it kind of got us to thinking about lots of families have traditions of things that they do that are just in their family. Traditions develop differently. Like, some people, their tradition is you open all your presents on Christmas Eve. Some people, they open their Christmas presents. They open one on Christmas Eve and the rest Christmas morning. Some people spread it out over 12 days. I mean, people just do things in their families that are different than the way you might have done them or I might have done them. And that's what I think we're looking for right now.
We are looking for your weird family traditions. And you know it's weird because every time you tell somebody, they go, what? This is a strange one. I mean, this one, it does say that they eat one grape at each bell strike at midnight, December 31st. So you're supposed to do it. It's supposed to ward off evil, and it's supposed to give you good luck. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a local grape vendor came up with it. I don't know.
Well, it is a choking hazard waiting to happen.
It is.
That. Right.
Well, I never heard of that one before, but apparently a lot of our listeners have been involved in that tradition. But I bet there are things out there that only you and your family do. And there are things that you do, regularly, once a year or something like that, or on somebody's birthday or whatever it is. We want to hear from you. What is your strange family tradition? 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. This Saturday night on BBC America makes the return of one of our favorite shows, Orphan Black. And one of our favorite actors from that show, Jordan Guevaras, is going to be joining us in studio coming up next hour. He plays Felix on the show. So that's next hour here on K-Rock. Right now, we're talking about your family traditions. Wow, it looks like we've got some people who do some honked up stuff out there, Kevin.
Yeah, we got nutty families out there.
let's talk to Laura to get us going here. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. There's something only your family does. We want you to share it with us this morning. Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning. So my family, during New Year's, every single year, what they do is they get a luggage. And we have to run around the block, and we're the only ones doing it, usually.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean you get a suitcase?
Yeah, you get an empty suitcase, and you just run around the block.
But with the suitcase?
It's a Mexican thing, or if we're the only, because I honestly think we're the only ones that do it, because we're the only ones out there. After midnight.
Yeah, I think it's a crazy thing. I think it's a crazy person thing.
What's the point of it? The suitcases are empty, so it's not for physical fitness, right?
No, of course it's not for physical fitness, but it's supposed to, you're supposed to travel more throughout the year. It's just, I guess, I don't know.
Did your family make it up, or did you hear it from somewhere?
I'm sorry?
Did you guys make that up?
No, we've been doing it for years and years, and actually, I guess it works. I'm going on vacation next week, so.
But well, Laura, wouldn't you have been going on vacation next week anyway?
What? No, because I actually just planned this, but, I mean, who knows?
Okay, all right.
Kevin, who knows?
I'm good with that, Laura. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Let's go to Stephanie. She's up next. She's on line 5. Stephanie, is your family possibly as crazy as Laura's?
Maybe, just quite possibly.
All right, what exactly is your tradition?
So every year, sometime in June, there's no set specific date, which makes it even more bizarre. When it starts getting really warm on just a random hot day, someone in our family, in our immediate family, will just initiate a massive water fight for the whole day. And it could be pretty vicious. Like, someone could be sleeping and we'll just pour water all over their head. We used to throw each other in the pool, or we throw like buckets of water at each other.
But that sort of sounds like it's getting hot. Let's have a fun day together as a family. At least that makes a little sense. Does it stay fun?
It can get pretty mean at times. We've gotten into fights throughout the day because we've gotten each other hurt. But, I mean, it gets pretty mean after a while because, I mean, one time I ended up taking water balloons and I put them in my sister's pants and I just started hitting them. But, I mean, I don't know. There's no set specific day, and so we've gotten into fights a few times for it.
All right. Okay. That's a good one.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to James. He's up next. He's on line 3. Hi, James. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you doing?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Haley Smith.
Hi there.
Hey, our family's, my wife's family's off the boat Italian, and I've been married 20 years coming up, and our first year together on New Year's Eve, they told me that on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, we have to gorge ourselves on lentils.
And, you have to gorge yourself on what? Lentil?
Lentils.
Okay.
A big plate of lentils with a special salami called cotechine. And the more lentils you eat, the more money you're supposed to make through the year.
And that makes sense.
So you just gorge yourself, and you should see the size of my father-in-law. He's done pretty good for himself.
I'll bet. Now, does it work?
Well, you know, I've had some good years, and then years I haven't eaten as many lentils because I'm trying to watch my own weight. You know, maybe I didn't make that much that year.
See, you don't care about money, James.
How about that?
Yes, sometimes.
That's on you.
You've got to watch it down with the limoncello, you know?
Sure.
The Italian thing.
Okay. Thanks for the call. I can't imagine. I mean, one meal of lentils, it doesn't matter what's going on with your weight. What?
It does. You have to eat as much as you can to make money.
Let's go to Anthony. He's on line two. He's getting us into a very strange area here.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey. My wife's family, when anybody is pregnant in a family, they take their pee and mix it with Drano crystals, and depending on the color, it's going to be like a boy or a girl.
Nope.
That's insane.
But that doesn't happen.
I'm saying they get really mad. They swear by it.
I'm actually with Kevin on this one. Nope. Let's go to Ricky now. He's on line eight, talking about weird family traditions here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, KB, how you doing, guys?
We are good.
Hey, hello.
Good, hi.
Well, it's kind of a weird one, and, you know, I don't know if it's just my family or if it's a cultural thing.
Tell us what it is, and we'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually for every child under the age of five, after we sing happy birthday and they blow their candles out, everybody gathers around the table there where the cake is, and we try to talk the kid into taking a little bite out of the corner of the cake. And when he goes in for the bite, pretty much everybody around the table reaches in and smashes his face into the cake.
This is a little kid that may not understand what you're doing?
Oh, the younger the better.
Oh, my God.
So are you trying to make three-year-olds afraid of birthday cake? Is that the goal here?
You know, I really think that what we're trying to do is teach them that life has a lot of unexpected things.
Life is hard.
Right.
Yeah, life is hard.
And that doesn't birthday, come without a price.
And that way, when they're at a Steve Aoki show, they won't be surprised. They'll be fine with it.
Yeah. I got one more, too. I got one more. After a baby's born, if it's a girl, within the first 3 days, I have about six aunts. And within the first 3 days, all six of them will come over and pierce the little girl's ears. So, yeah, from about 3 days old. That's when my daughter
got. So your family just has a tradition of abusing children. That's really where you're coming from.
No. We're raising them good. Don't worry. We're still.
But do you have any traditions that don't make it hurt for the child?
What a terrible family that he'd be born into.
I can't thank you for the call, Ricky. I can't get over the birthday cake thing, because here you are. You're so happy. If you're finally at the age where you're old enough to understand it's your special day and the party is about you, you're so happy and you're all safe and you're all secure and you're standing there with the people that you think love you. And all of a sudden, it's just a mob attack.
They smother you.
Yes.
They're smothering you.
Push your face into the cake.
They're teaching the kids that the unexpected can happen.
Oh my God.
I think it's good parenting. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What?
You still driving the banana mobile? You still got that big yellow car?
It's orange. It's Grabber Orange.
Right. Have you been following the 50th anniversary this year of the Ford Mustang? Did you see that they have one on the observation deck of the Empire State Building this morning?
Yes.
They chopped it up, Kevin, into six different pieces, this car, so that they could fit it in the tiny little Empire State Building elevator, and then took it up to the top and reassembled it.
They
have a car
it back
up
together
there.
Again.
Why did they do that?
Because the Mustang's the greatest car in the world.
But wouldn't that be true without taking it up an elevator?
But how special? You get up to the top of the Empire State Building, what do you see? Oh, Mustang, hi, how are you?
It's part of their 50th anniversary celebration, and I guess what? They did it at the beginning for the new, when they introduced it, right, Ralph? They did the exact same thing 50 years ago.
Is this one banana yellow as well?
For the 64 it might be. And a half. It's not banana yellow, it's Grabber Orange.
That's what we meant. Whatever.
I just can't imagine.
Get Bo Bachman on the phone. We're going to talk about this color.
I just can't imagine chopping up a car into little pieces, putting it in an elevator, and then taking it to the top of the Empire State Building and putting it back together again. That's just
yeah, wouldn't you feel like
a weird day.
An employee, wouldn't you feel like, really? Like, is this a prank?
I can't imagine going to IHOP every day, every week. We all can't imagine things.
I guess we all have our things.
That's
all
right, right.
Fair enough. 7:55 now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's happening?
It's a shame, Kevin, while you're out, you missed a collection of segments called Bean Doesn't Know, where he just couldn't understand things. He was blown away by stuff, one after another. It was very entertaining.
How about that?
Yeah. He didn't know which way to put the toilet paper on the roll. He didn't understand where cops didn't want to announce themselves at parties. He just didn't know a lot of things.
It was like my first day on Earth.
You know what? He landed, the spaceship opened up, and Bean was trying to learn about humans.
You know what it is? He's taken himself completely out of social situations.
That's true.
So he has no idea.
He goes to the bathroom, doesn't he? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he goes outside.
Maybe he just uses leaves.
Good.
He takes a tree frog from his pond and wipes his butt with it.
I just do whatever my dogs do.
He just scrapes his butt along the grass outside.
I'd give anything to have a video of that.
All right, before I get to show business news, how about some passes to attend the K-Rock screening of
The Quiet Ones?
Yay!
This movie looks terrifying. It is in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 25th. Our screening is the day before that, on the 24th, at the Arclight Hollywood. Not only my favorite theater in Southern California, but also Kevin, because I've seen him, Kevin, there. Jared Harris stars in the film. You remember him as Moriarty from the second Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr., also from Mad Men. Sam Claflin, Olivia Cooke from Bates Motel. Great cast. It's about a university professor and a team of students who are trying to conduct experiments on a young woman, hoping to uncover some terrifying dark paranormal forces. Here's the problem. When you do that, sometimes you uncover dark paranormal forces.
You are all going to die tonight.
You want to go see The Quiet Ones? Call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through, we'll get a pair of passes to our K-Rock screening of The Quiet Ones. It's The Quiet Ones you got to look out for, my friends.
That's right.
The loud ones, no problem.
Being when you're in social situations and there are people who are quiet, those are the people who you should worry more about.
I see. Thank you.
I don't understand that. This is sad but sort of inspiring news. Paul Walker's brothers, Caleb and Cody, have agreed to be stand-ins for their late brother in order to help the production company complete the filming of the upcoming Fast and Furious 7 movie.
Oh, they have enough from him? From Paul?
Yeah, they got a lot of footage they shot, and now they're going to use Caleb and Cody as stand-ins. I don't know which one is which, but one of his brothers looks almost exactly like Paul.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Rap.com reports that computer graphics will be used to cover any discrepancies between the brothers and Paul during a few select scenes that still need to be finished. They won't be replacing them throughout the whole movie, just a couple body doubles and things like that. But Facebook page for the movie confirmed that move, adding, having them on set made us all feel that Paul is with us, too. So I can imagine it's a very difficult process to try to finish a film with someone that everyone seemed to like and enjoy working with as much as Paul, and then having to wrap it up without him must be difficult.
Totally. And it's weird. It's going to be weird for moviegoers to go, just like with that new Philip Seymour Hoffman movie that's coming out.
Right.
You know, you go to see that thing that was obviously filmed before, but then you go, wow, that person's just not here.
Yeah, it's strange. They are making a Broadway musical based on the hit TV series Soul Train. Isn't that interesting?
Okay. Could be good.
Well, look, they do
anything
these,
could be good.
They do these jukebox musicals now, which are just monster hits.
Yeah.
You know? Rock of Ages, for example, was just a collection of rock songs from the 80s, and they strung together with a thin plot and kind of put it all in there, and everyone loved that on Broadway. You got Jersey Boys and the ABBA musical Mamma Mia. Now Soul Train will feature all the 70s soul and R&B classics that people love so much.
Soul Train.
That one.
Soul Train.
Here's the theme.
Soul Train.
Right, we got it.
Soul Train.
We got it. That's the star of Soul Train, the musical right there.
He's going to be great.
The show ran in syndication, by the way, for 35 years.
Did it really?
Producer got the rights to use the name and the image of the show from Soul Train Holdings. That is the company that owns Soul Train. Who do you think owns Soul Train?
Oh, wow.
Who's the host guy?
Don Cornelius?
Yeah, what about him?
He's dead.
He has since
dead.
Passed away.
Oh, yeah. If you say Ryan Seacrest, I swear to God.
No. This is a much cooler answer.
Oh, what is
You're
it?
You're going to be surprised.
Okay.
Magic Johnson.
No kidding.
Owns all the rights to Soul Train.
How about that?
That's interesting.
Huh, that is. All right.
So, a couple more bucks in Magic's pocket. I'm glad, because I know the guy's been hurting for cash, so I'm glad to see you. So. Maybe EJ will star. That'd be great. Tall Train. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lucas Haas is 38 years old today. Singer Akon is 41. And no, to everyone that's requesting, we will not announce his full name on his birthday.
His full name is spectacular.
It makes Mr. Echo look like
it
a
does.
Piker.
It's
He's
like,
got like six or seven names.
Yes,
right?
He does. And they're all consonants.
I think you should
There's
try.
No vowels in any of
I
his
think
names.
You should give it an effort.
Well, maybe next hour.
Okay.
Peter Billingsley's 43 years old today. He was Little Ralphie in the classic Christmas movie, A Christmas Story. He's now 43 years old, very successful producer here in Los Angeles. John Cryer in Two and a Half Men, 49 years old, as is comedian actor Martin Lawrence. David Perner of Soul Asylum is 50. Ellen Barkin turns 60. Patriots coach Bill Belichick is 62. And our former Pope, Pope Benedict XVI, he is 87 years old.
What do you think
today.
He's doing today? Video games?
Balling.
Hooker off a blow's ass.
What? Hooker off a blow's ass?
Probably blow off a hooker's ass.
I'd
Although
like to see the first
a chopped up hooker off a blow's ass. Now that would be a party. I'm a Ralph Garman. I'm a watching the movie beat.
Looking ahead toward tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show. By the way, hope you'll be with us. Dr. Drew is going to be on the program. Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. More playoff tickets to see the Ducks face Dallas. And Oscar winner Jim Rash is going to be in studio. You may know him best as Dean Pelton on Community. That's all tomorrow, right here on K Rock. Kevin, yesterday, Ralph and I were talking about Lana Del Rey. You were unfortunately not here for the conversation. But
right.
I love her. I love everything about her. I love her music. I love the way she looks. I love the way she sings. I love her.
Do you love her just because of the way she looks?
That doesn't hurt. But there's been a lot of talk. She's been a very polarizing figure ever since she first burst onto the scene a couple of years ago. And I know when we had her on the show, there were some people who did not enjoy her interview on our program.
Well,
for instance.
Look, here's what happened. She was a dick. No, she said, I edited my music video. And we said, oh, you edited your own music video. And she said,
obviously.
Right. We were like, whoa,
she
take
had
it easy.
An
what
attitude
do you mean?
Through the whole thing.
She really did.
I think at the time that she came in, remember, it was at the height of the backlash against her. There was so much internet hate about her. Part of it was her own fault because of the lackluster performance on Saturday Night Live and, you know, her kind of laissez-faire attitude in some interviews. But I thought part of it was unfounded and unfair. I think people were unusually harsh on her. So she's back in the news because she just played Coachella over the weekend.
Right.
And she just debuted a new song called West Coast. And there are already people, and Ralph was one of them yesterday, by the way, who are just ragging on her for not making any kind of effort, it seems like to him, in her music, to even just open her mouth and just sing.
Like, she mumbles?
If you can't get interested enough to at least sing your songs, then why are you in music? I'll let you be the judge. Here's a little bit of the new Lana single called West Coast. Now, there's some people who hear a song like that, they go, ooh, that's moody and that's sexy. And then there are other people who would listen to it and go, that's just boring and BS.
I'd have to be high to enjoy that.
If
I was really high, I would enjoy that.
Produced by Dan Auerbach from Black Keys, by the way. He's the one who produced this new record from Lana Del Rey. So anyway, a lot of controversy, very polarizing young woman. And we thought, why should we just spend our time blabbing about it when we can get Lana Del Rey herself on the phone? I believe she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Lana. Welcome back to K-Rock.
Hello.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Congratulations on your performance at Coachella and your new single, West Coast.
Yeah.
Are you not enjoying being a musician? Because it seems sometimes like you have to be dragged through promotion.
I love being a musician.
What's that?
Love being a musician.
You do?
You love being a musician.
Obviously.
Okay. Because it doesn't... You don't... strike us as happy.
whatever.
Now, some say, not me, but some say all of your songs sound alike. Is that a fair judgment?
No. All my songs do not sound alike.
Mm-hmm.
They're all different. They're all unique. Very much alike.
What was that? I didn't hear that last part. Different, unique.
Well, special and unique.
Special.
In very special ways.
Very special ways.
Okay. Okay. So
obviously.
Obviously, right. So this West Coast, is this representative of what the rest of the new album Ultraviolence is going to sound like?
Yes.
Okay.
My new album, Ultraviolence, is coming out soon, and there's a lot of really great music on there.
See, again, you don't sound convinced even as you say the words, Lana.
Well, it's not my job to convince you in anything.
It's not your job what?
Convince you.
To convince us?
Okay.
In anything.
All right. Okay.
My music speaks for itself.
Well, unfortunately, I think for a lot of people that's true. So, what else is the new record going to sound like?
You want to hear some more?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you have something else besides West Coast? Yeah, we'd love to.
Obviously.
Well, okay. But we haven't seen it released anywhere.
Okay.
Right, let's hear it.
Here's some new songs. Here's one of my new songs from Ultraviolence.
Okay.
Welcome to the coffee shop, and I'm drinking some chai tea.
What are you singing, Lana?
We can't
hear what you're
saying.
That's the same as West Coast.
Lana, you're doing the same song again.
Lana Riota, we already played that song.
Umbrella.
You own an umbrella.
You said you had something else, another song you were going to do for us. That's the same song.
No.
All right, give us the song that is the farthest from that.
Okay.
On the album.
I get into my car and I drive down the freeway.
It's the same music.
There's a lot of traffic. Ooh, look, a guy's changing a tire.
That's not even lyrics. That's just...
Are you just making things up?
Boy, and I grow into... Gonna see my boy. And we're gonna have hot, 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 hot...
Hot what?
You okay, Lana?
Sex, right.
Because I'm so sexy, but I can't be bothered.
Okay, never mind.
I couldn't be bothered to finish
that. Okay. I was told we were going to have Felix here, but I don't see Felix.
I don't either.
He has a guy that he sends out for personal appearances, and that guy looks sort of like him, but he goes by the name Jordan, and that's who's in the studio with us right now.
I see.
I'm right here.
Jordan Guevara from TV's Orphan Black on BBC America, returning this Saturday night at 9. How are you, sir?
Whoa, that was the most impressive plug I have ever heard.
It was so smooth. It was like I wasn't even reading it.
It was a smooth sentence.
Now, Jordan, let's deal with the elephant in the room here first. First, let me say welcome to K-Rock, and we couldn't be bigger fans of Orphan Black. I think we talked about Orphan Black every day the show was on last year. We loved it so much. But let's talk about the thing that you run into everywhere you go, which is that you can't possibly be the guy that plays Felix because you don't look like him, you don't sound like him. What's the magic voodoo that's going on here?
I'm never recognized. I think between the hair and the makeup and by the time my eyebrows grow back in, that people just do not put two and two together. There's no magic. There's no witchcraft. It's just...
It's called acting?
It's method acting.
Method acting.
It's method acting.
Tell me how... We have so many questions for you because we're such geeky fans of Orphan Black. Tell me how Felix became the Felix that we know and love. Like, how did he get to be that colorful a character?
Well, it wasn't really laid out that way on the page, actually. Felix was initially conceived as someone a little bit darker, someone a little gruffer. I think hustler was the term. Uh-huh. And we went through about 5 different versions of the character in the audition process. We had an American version where just the humor fell apart. It really wasn't coming together. And,
right.
You know, we needed so desperately that point of levity in the show. We had another version that was Cockney English. So instead of this accent here, where it just sort of sits at the, you know, the middle and the front of the mouth, it was sort of back more and much more in the back of the throat, and, you know, using the glottal stops, and instead of the THs, you use the
Fs. Caption.
That's impressive.
We would need
caption.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Okay,
that's
so
amazing.
Yeah.
And I was really inspired at the time, because the character was so liberated, I was really inspired at the time by a lot of glam rockers, because I thought, well, who's the most liberated person that I know? Who are the people that really put themselves out there, that do something weird, and they do it in public? Uh-huh. And I thought, well, Mick Jagger and David Bowie, and I found this incredible video from the 80s called, it was a Dancing in the Street music video. Have you guys seen
it?
Yeah. You must be familiar.
I remember it. Sure,
yes. That's a good one.
It was very 80s.
It was very 80s and very bisexual.
Very.
Right. Totally.
At best. So that kind of informed how you play Felix then.
Usually.
You just thought, hey, if I were in that video back in whatever year it was, the 80s, this is how I would act.
It was more like looking at the way that their bodies moved and how loose and limber they were and how they sort of led with their pelvis. And I thought, oh, that's what, like, this is crazy, but that's what sexualized, you know, confident people do. That's how they move through the room. That's how this character moves across the room. And it's how he says hello, and it's how he greets everybody, you know, regardless of male, female, whatever. There's just a level of, like, sexual ambiguity, gender ambiguity in there.
There's no ambiguity with Felix, though.
So you think.
Let me ask you a question personally, and it does affect my follow-up, which is, are you gay?
Oh, that's... I do not talk about my personal
you don't.
Life or home life. I
have
a reason
for
that.
Okay, my follow-up was going to be anyway, do you get a response from that community?
Sure, yeah.
As to your character.
The LGBT community has been amazing, but I think that there's a danger with actors, and this goes for gay or straight, there's a danger in talking about not just your personal life, not your romantic life, your home life. We are supposed to be the people who work as blank canvases for an audience. So no matter what answer I give to that question, no matter how much information the public knows, and, you know, they think they want to know. They don't really want to know. Nobody really wants to know, because you alienate some member. Any answer I gave would take away from the magic of Felix.
And we've all known of actors who we learn too much about them, and they cease to be able to disappear into
the
role.
Yeah, that's true.
Crushed under the weight of their own celebrity.
Yeah.
And being on a television show that's really gaining steam and gaining momentum, there's a danger in that.
Yeah. Felix is awesome.
Thank you.
Let me just say that. It is really a great character.
Were you, when you settled on the accent that you do on the show, the British accent, you realize that as that's the decision that's made, that that's how you're going to have to talk every time you open your mouth on that show for however many seasons it runs. I mean, that's a big commitment for you to stay in that character.
Yeah, it was. It was, I mean, showing up to work every day, the second I get in the car in the morning, I just stay in the accent.
You
and
did the whole time?
I did the whole time. And it's not a precious choice. It's not something I sit there and go, oh, well, you know, I'm going to do this because I think that I have to, and I think it's, you know, part of being a method actor or part of being a mature, grown-up actor. It was just literally not wanting to deviate from being technically on point, because the accent was so important, and it's so important to sell that reality to the audience.
It does seem like there are a lot of people who that is where they falter, is they try to put on an accent, and you go, close, but it just sounds wrong somehow, and you don't even know how,
really. And I think that's, like, part of the problem why Americans often aren't able to do the British accent. We were talking
stupid
earlier.
Stupid Brits
about,
can do the English accent so easy. The American accent, I should say.
Of course they can do the English accent.
Yeah, I'm an American. It seems like they can all disappear into the American accent, just as simple as anything. But for us to do the British, it seems like it's much harder.
And I mean, for someone with a trained ear, they can definitely, I can hear when Brits try to do an American accent.
Oh,
Absolutely. There's a reason why they're better at Southern accents, because that has to do with something called iambic pentameter. It's why
Jordan's too smart for us, Kevin.
Oh, you're too smart.
It's called
Dumb It Down. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Come on.
Later, we'll be discussing quantum physics.
Do you have a vocal coach that goes over this stuff with you?
We do have a dialect coach that
dialect
works
coach.
With our accents.
That's what
but
I meant.
It took a while to figure out where the accent was, because after we figured out region, then there was the character element, which was Felix is
sassy.
Well, he's certainly sassy. he's very sassy. But it's funny, you know, going back even to the to the gay query is just I don't see the character, and it's probably because I'm in it, and it's a little bit more difficult for me to define him by that sexuality, because you'd never ask, you know, Bradley Cooper, well, Bradley, I mean, what's it like playing a straight character? How does this affect you? We don't play straight characters. We don't play gay characters. We don't play white characters. We don't play black characters. We play people. Every shade of humanity in every human being.
Come on. Let's hear it. Seriously, that was... Oh. That should be carved in a mountain somewhere. That was great.
I think it...
Oh, wait, that Canada. Oh, Canada. Sorry. Canada.
My bad. Canada. No, do you have an O Canada button on there?
We don't. I'm sorry.
That's where, get that going on.
That, sorry. That is a... I'm,
because
sorry.
Big
sorry.
Hockey fan. Sorry. Big hockey fan. Sorry.
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 Sorry, eh?
That has a lot to do with it, though, too. My upbringing, you know, I grew up secular, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to Canada. You know,
have.
It's kind of an anything-goes kind of country. all the weirdos are welcome. but I think that kind of enabled me to separate myself from that, separate myself from the crux of like, oh, I've got to play artist, or oh, I've got to play gay, or oh, I've got to play musician,
right.
I've got to play this or that. We're always just playing people.
You're just playing Felix.
That's great.
Just playing Felix, right. Yeah.
We have many, many more questions. Look, we've had you in here all this time talking about Orphan Black. We haven't even mentioned Tatiana Maslany, who's also been a guest on the show, who we're all so in love with. And she's the fact that she didn't win every acting award that was available last year was a crime. Because whoever else won Emmys couldn't do what Tatiana does on your show, Orphan Black. There's no question about that. Anyway, we want to talk some more about it and get everybody set up for Season 2, which returns this Saturday night, April 19th at 9 on BBC America. Our guest is Jordan Gavaris. He plays Felix on the show. We'll be right back on camera. Talking about Orphan Black, we're so excited about the return of our favorite show on TV, BBC America, this Saturday night at 9. Season 2 begins... Look, if you do anything that the Kevin and Bean Show advise you to do, go immediately to wherever you get TV... Netflix, On Demand, iTunes, and watch all of Season 1.
Yes.
Trust us on this.
It's 10 episodes. It's not like it's undoable.
Yes. Watch all of Season 1. Trust us. You will love it.
Take the week off work.
Now, Jordan is here. He plays Felix. I would try to catch people up, but can you give them a sketch, an overall sketch of the TV show so that they're ready for Season 2?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
For anyone who hasn't seen Season 1, we follow a British grifter named Sarah, who late one night on a train platform sees an identical copy of herself throw herself in front of a train and kill herself. This girl looks like her, talks like her, sounds like her, not English, but close enough. And seeing an opportunity, Sarah seizes her ID and credit cards and her keys and steps into her life only to discover that this girl is a clone and that there are more of them. And she stumbles headlong into a kaleidoscopic mystery.
Nice.
Like that?
I like that.
That was great.
That's on the level of iambic pentameter.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. I'm going to write that down and try and work it in later.
And your character, Felix, is the foster brother to Sarah, correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And what I love about him is look, there's a lot of heaviness that's being dropped into his lap as this story unfolds, as Sarah figures out what's going on and passes the information along to Felix. He has to deal with it all, and he takes it in stride, man. He is just down for whatever. That's what I love about him. He doesn't get scared off by any of this.
Thank you. That was something that, was weird, because I knew that you know, it's not going to work if he just sits there and, you know, we have no show if he puts up too much resistance and never joins in the fun.
Yeah, he goes along with it.
But I chose to kind of look at that as, oh, he's an artist. Of course he would go along with it. He's juiced by this idea. He's inspired, and he loves drama, and he loves excitement, I think, because it's a distraction from his own life.
And she seems like she's the opposite. It's freaking her out that there are other hers.
Absolutely.
As it would any of us, by the way.
As it would any of us, yeah.
Any of us, yeah. So you're a tremendous actor, Jordan. You're so good on this show.
Thank you.
Could you do what Tatiana Maslany does, though?
Whoa.
She plays all the clones.
I don't know that anyone can do what Tat does. I would be very up for a challenge of turning. I mean, even just from who Felix is to who I am, I could walk on screen as myself. At least that's another clone.
That's right. Now you got two down. Get back to me when you're at 8.
Right? Let me think. How many accents do I know?
Here's the thing about her. This is the best compliment I could give her, is that she plays 8 characters.
Yeah.
Maybe now 7? 8? No, 8. And none of them make you think of the other one.
Yeah, you never get confused as to who you're watching. Even when she's one clone playing another clone, you still are not confused as to what you're seeing, which is a miracle.
Yeah.
What's it like? Because you've acted opposite more than just Sarah. You're with Allison and I think maybe one other, right?
Cosima,
right. What's it like for you? Do you feel like you're acting with a different person each time you film one of those scenes with a different clone?
Yeah, she's that good. Yeah, every time she comes on set in whatever hair and makeup's decided she's going to look like that day, she is that person. And yes, of course, there is an element of suspension of my disbelief in that.
Because you know.
I know this woman. I know her so intimately, and she's a friend. But at the end of the day, she gives me every reason in the world to believe that she is a different person. And the only thing that I have to do is just surrender myself to the lunacy and go forward.
Right.
And we do. And we play. And we if it's not happening as easily one day, we play until it does. We improv together. We riff at the beginning of scenes. We'll sit and try to connect with each other. We'll make eye contact for like 2 minutes. It's very bizarre kind of actory stuff that probably makes us seem like complete and utter psychopaths. But all of it does lend itself to the success of the show and the success of her delineating these women.
Now, you finished season 2.
Yeah.
How many episodes are there?
10 episodes.
No!
I'm sorry. Kevin, do you know how long it takes us to shoot 10 episodes?
I don't know anything about it, but I want more.
6 months.
What?
6 months really? To do 10 episodes.
Oh, poor baby. You're working half a year.
Wait, that's a long time to do.
For
to
10
do 10 episodes.
Episodes.
For 10 episodes, it's a really long time.
Yeah.
Wow, but I still want more. How long has it been since it was on?
Oh, my God.
Has it been a year?
March through to June-ish. Almost a year.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
So you're dissatisfied, Kevin. It's not enough. The man's not
it's
working hard
good.
Enough for you.
That's
what you're saying.
It's too good, but if you were to do it faster, I'm sure it wouldn't be as good.
It would be terrible.
Yeah.
Jordan, answer this for me if you can, and with as little technical mumbo-jumbo as possible. How do they do it? How do they make those scenes so seamless where sometimes you see three or four different Tatianas on the screen at the same time?
Of every question, this was the one that I was dreading.
This is the hard one,
I was
right?
Like, they can ask me anything, please God, just don't ask me how they do it.
I mean, I know the basic, obviously, is obviously they film it and then edit all the scenes together, you know, to make it all match. But I don't understand technically how they're able to do it so it's so seamless. I mean, can't tell.
I will do this. I will try to do this without completely butchering this explanation.
Okay.
We use something called a techno dolly.
I'm out.
And this techno dolly.
You're already out?
You're out. It's done.
Techno dolly. Right,
techno dolly.
It's a kind of camera crane that memorizes a camera pattern down to like the micrometer. So what it does essentially is allows you to move the camera and change things in a scene, but it because it's memorizing the same pattern, when they go into VFX to do their edits later,
right.
It's sort of like a moving plate shot. They can splice it all together even while the camera moves because it's the same movement over and over again. Instead of just standing still and doing a lock-off and just kind of the camera stays in one position, it's static, and you just have to cut the thing side by side. When the camera moves on the same pattern, it can move, and you can do that same thing. Cut it into thirds or halves.
I think you explained that pretty well.
Yeah, kidding. Because it used to be back in the early days, it used to be the actor just like had to stand still, and then
they moved the set around and things like that.
That's exactly it. Or like in Bewitched when they tried, but we just knew it wasn't really doing that well.
What are some of the, for folks who aren't going to take our advice and go back and watch all of season one before this Saturday night, what are some of the questions that we were left with at the end of last season? Kira is gone, right?
Kira's gone.
The little daughter is missing. We don't know what happened to her. A couple of the clones are sick. Do I remember that correctly from last year?
Cosima's sick.
Yes.
Cosima's sick.
Cosima.
One cough or something?
Dead?
Helena's dead.
She's dead. Okay. And the company that created them is trying to claim them as property.
Absolutely.
Right? That's where we kind of left off?
Yes. Which will... I think if I remember correctly, we do at some point address the Supreme Court's ruling on genetic patents.
Okay.
Which is really cool. I don't know if that was intentional, but everybody was up in arms because they thought, oh my God, this completely invalidates everything that we talked about at the end of the season. Well, hold on to your head.
It must be so exciting for you and the creators and producers of the show and your other cast members to see how much steam Orphan Black has gained since you guys went off the air. It seems like every month more and more people are discovering it. You've been on the covers of magazines. I mean, you guys are really posed for a pretty exciting season 2 in terms of audience, right?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's tough to say in terms, you know, we get all excited and go, oh, I hope the numbers are good. I hope the numbers are good. In reality, people are watching television in so many different ways now.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the idea of sitting down with your family at a particular time slot to watch your favorite program, I think those days are, that idea is a nostalgia. That
I do too, except for a couple of shows, and this is one of them for
Thank
me.
You.
There are just a couple.
Yeah.
Walking Dead for me, got to watch it live, don't want to tape it, you know.
Because you don't want to wait a minute longer than you have to see the show.
But
right,
for the most part, you're right. You pretty much have to move it around and watch it when you can.
And I think that, you know, the networks, and I think we all are very aware that we're hoping for numbers. We want people to watch live. My God, watch live.
Please. 9 p.m. Saturday night, BBC 9
p.m.
America.
Saturday night.
Thank you for not putting it on Sundays, by the way.
Oh, thank you for watching it on a Saturday and not, like, going out to a bar.
Exactly. We can go out to a bar afterwards.
Well, that's right. Not.
We're so happy to meet you, Jordan. Seriously, you're a very impressive young man. You're terrific on the show, as is everybody involved in Orphan Black. We love the program. We can't wait for it to come back this weekend. And I hope you'll come back and see us sometime, too, sir.
Thank you so much. I'd love to.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:58.
Today's been fun. I'm not trying to take anything away from today's Kevin and Bean Show, but all I cared about this morning when I came in was what's going to happen next when Kevin explains how he almost beat up a guy.
I almost got fired in Coachella.
I didn't say I almost beat up a guy. I said I almost got in a fight.
I was ready to throw down.
So apparently something happened on the party bus. We're going to find out what it was coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat.
Speaking of Coachella, nice work, Kevin.
What did I do?
Lindsay Lohan.
Never saw her.
Trying so hard to rehab and stay sober and get back to her career and all the good things she had going
on. And she's doing that by being at Coachella?
Well, she was fine until you got a hold of her.
I did not see her.
Sources are saying people who did see her at Coachella said she could barely stand up.
Oh, boy.
Was chain smoking. Well, that's not unusual for her, sober or drunk. But that she kept sending friends to the bar for rounds of vodka and soda. I saw vodka Red Bull, not vodka soda. Stupid Lindsay, stupid absurd dumb Lindsay. Said one patron Coachella who was drinking with her.
So Oprah's going to be ticked off, right?
Yeah,
she won't tick off
Oprah.
You know she saw that coming, right?
Trust me, Oprah's praying for a breakdown at this point. Anything to bring attention to that failed reality show. Looks like we're going to get a chance to see the meeting of the Titans as Stephen Colbert shows up as a guest on Late Night with David Letterman next week. He'll be on the next Tuesday's show. It'll be his first visit to the Late Show since he was tapped as Letterman's successor. Prior to this, he'd been on Letterman's show more than a dozen times in the past 10 years, but they say this is going to be the real Stephen, so it should be interesting to hear those guys.
Yeah.
It is weird. And pass the torch.
It is weird how he created that character and really has hidden behind it for a long, long time.
You don't see him as him very often.
Right.
Yeah, that's for sure. Although they did a great interview with him on 60 Minutes. I don't know if you ever caught it.
I didn't.
They sat down with Stephen Colbert and he talked about his life and growing up and his wife and his kid and the process behind creating that character and how he puts the show on. I'm sure there must be a way you can find old 60 Minute segments, but it was a great interview. I really enjoyed it. So check it out.
We have an app for that. You can go back and watch any segment you want.
Speaking of which, CBS announced yesterday that Chelsea Handler, not a candidate to replace Craig Ferguson, which, of course, is the show that follows Dave's show now on CBS.
Where's Craig going, by the way?
Nowhere.
Well, then...
Nowhere. The rumor mill got ramped up because Chelsea posted a picture of a bunch of papers on her desk with her dog, and all the pictures, all the papers had the CBS logo on it, and she captioned it with business meeting to allow people to draw the conclusion that she was going over there to meet for some late night show that she was going to do over there.
I'm going to do the same thing then.
I am too. Where will I find CBS logos, though?
Don't have them.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. CBS jumped into the fray and told The Hollywood Reporter, not a meeting for late night. No. It was a meeting for the syndication group over at CBS, perhaps doing a daytime talk show or something like that for Chelsea. So they are having conversations with her, but it is not regarding a late night show.
CBS cares.
Everyone can breathe. Everyone can exhale. And would you watch Ricky Gervais on television again?
Yes.
What if he came back as his character David Brent?
Yes.
Apparently they are talking about a David Brent spinoff from the original Office TV series.
That's the Steve Carell role, for those of you that didn't see that.
Right? That's right, the American version. Steve Carell played the leader of the Dunder Mifflin paper company. He's been talking to both the BBC and Netflix to do a spinoff. I think it would be a great idea, because I don't know if you've been following his guitar lessons on YouTube.
I haven't.
David Brent teaches you how to play guitar, and he plays his music, and it's very, very funny. He said he has to make sure it will work and stand on its own, however. He said, I can't do it just as a vanity project. I don't know whether to do it as an on-the-road special or make a whole series out of it, but at least he's having conversations, so there's that. If you watch his, what's his developmentally disabled, Derek.
Derek.
Oh, yeah.
You watching Derek?
I'm not watching Derek.
You should, Kevin.
Should I?
Yeah. he's your people.
How dare you?
It's very touching. Very funny, but very touching.
Is it back?
I believe it comes back next week or sometime real soon.
Okay, I didn't know that.
For the second season, yeah.
I tuned into that that first episode of Derek, and it reminded me just too much of being at work.
How dare you?
See what happens
How
now?
Dare you both of you?
I'm ready to throw down with you for that. I will get in fights. I do not care. I have no sense of personal danger.
We could pull quotes from that show, and we could play our new game, Derek or Kevin, and you'd be hard-pressed to guess.
I love that game.
How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Bill Belichick, coach of the New England Cheaters. I'm missing Patriots, I'm sorry, 62 years old today. Ellen Barkin, 60. David Perner of Soul Asylum is 50. Martin Lawrence and John Cryer both turned 49 today. Peter Billingsley, little Ralphie from The Christmas Story, 43 years old. Akon's 41. And Lucas Haas turns 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, everybody. It is Stryker here.
Lock. We want you to be here in the building at K-Rock in something we call the Red Bull Sound Space. It's a tiny little concert venue where you get to stand about 25 feet from your favorite acts. See them playing live on stage. It's going to be happening again next Tuesday at 5 p.m. The neighborhood is going to be here. And if you want to go, keep on listening. We'll give you a chance to call in and win your way in. And you can also go to krock.com and sign up to win there, too.
25 feet from the band is in the back, by the way. Not the right.
Right.
The front is 1 foot.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need you for this, Ralph. We don't need you for this one. You can sit this one out.
Why can't I hear it?
I'd rather you didn't.
I want to listen.
All right. We were at Coachella.
Yes. Right.
And Saturday night.
Drop Pod Buster.
Saturday night, we were going to a party after.
What a surprise. You go party.
See, I'm saying we don't need you. After Coachella, after Muse, well, halfway through Muse, Dave drags me away, and we go to this party, which is a great party we go to every year, Neon Carnival. And Dave's had a lot to drink.
This is the Neon Carnival is where you posted the photos of Dave wearing the headbands he got on the ground, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my eyes were red from sand.
Did you tell him it was from sand? I was like, no.
That was rid of party person or something like that.
How dare you. All right, So he's been drinking, not me. No, not you. I'm perfectly
sober. You're not that kind.
So I'm on the, I'm on the dance floor, like I do, dance or die. And and I get blindsided by a guy on my right side. And I just, if you're on the dance floor, you get bounced around. It happens.
Yeah.
No big deal. But he launches me to my left where a gigantic man was standing. And I demolished him. It was not on purpose. It was just
your momentum just took you.
My momentum really hit him pretty hard.
So let me make sure I understand. So somebody bumped into you.
Yes.
You fell a little bit and bumped into somebody else, but hit that other person real hard.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't fall. I flew.
All right.
Into him. It was pretty hard. And so then I just sort of stood back up, thinking, well, that's the life of me on the dance floor, right? That's how we all do.
Sure, there's going to be collateral damage right. When you get on the dance floor. People are going to die. That's what we always know.
All of a sudden, the giant guy to my left, who I had unwillingly demolished, elbowed me across the shoulder and across the back and knocked me. Like, if I hadn't landed on somebody I was with, I would have gone flying on the floor. He hit me that hard with his elbow.
Jeez.
And he yelled, "Watch what you're doing, mother effer!" And he had his fist clenched.
Wow.
And his girlfriend was holding him back. And I was just thinking, 1 second ago, I was fine. Now everything goes into slow motion. And I'm going, okay, in my mind, I'm doing these negotiations. Okay, he's going to hit me, and that's going to suck. And he doesn't know that it was an accident, so I guess I kind of don't blame him. So when he swings, this is all happening in a quarter of a second.
This is amazing that you're clear-headed enough to think all this through, by the way. Because a lot of times when you're in a situation like that, you're just acting on instinct and self-survival. And a lot of people will just, they'll just, you know, fight back if somebody's threatening them.
But B, not when you have a brain like Kevin.
I guess that's what I was forgetting, yeah.
It's like those Sherlock Holmes movies where Robert Downey Jr. sees the whole fight 9 moves in advance.
It's the Matrix.
Parry to my right, then pull out a scarf, wrap it around his head, turn, use his weight against him, then judo flip.
He's got the whole thing worked out in his head.
So, I'm just really impressed right now.
So the guy is about to pound me into dirt.
All right.
And I think to myself, I just quickly,
what a
I
wonderful
think,
world.
No, I think,
goodbye.
File.
He's gonna. I agree. He's gonna throw a right because that's the hand that's cocked and ready to go, and she's holding his left hand.
Uh huh.
So I'm gonna duck under it and give him a hook. I'm gonna really throw a punch.
You've been watching too much UFC, dude.
No, I used to train kickboxing. You know
sure.
that. I thought, and then this thought came into my mind. I'm still going to get beat to hell, but hopefully I'll at least get one punch in before I get beat to hell.
Now, why were you so convinced he was going to win in this fight?
He was just big, tall. He's
big, strong, young, just ready to go.
He's 9 feet tall, and he's literally been working out all day and for the last 15 years of his life.
All right, he's that guy.
So I think I'm going to die.
All right.
And then I think, you know what? And this is where the drunk part of me took over. I thought, I might have a chance if I throw first.
Oh, why aren't you spending all this time running? That's what you should have been doing. All this time you invested in this thought process, you should have been hauling ass away from him.
Or throwing the Mexican in front of you.
The Mexican, I don't know at what point you realized what was going on.
I see Kevin.
You and Stryker.
Turn around, and like clench his fist. So I have to, do the...
Let's start saying clench. Can we please?
Where did clench even come from, you guys?
Stop saying clench your fist. Nobody clenches a fist. They clench it. Let's just get that settled.
Whatever.
I was ready for battle. And it was not... By the way, it's not a battle of my choosing. This guy was going to pound me into the ground.
Look, you couldn't start the fight, Kevin, but you could end it, man.
Nope. I could get a punch in. I literally had that thought. Like, I will lose either way, but I'll feel a little bit satisfied if I get a punch in.
But what's also funny is it's so crowded that you really can't move. So I don't know where this punch is going to go.
Oh, it's gonna
go
wreck
right.
Him.
You'll probably hit me or Stryker first before you hit anybody.
That's very possible. So Dave notices what's going on, and Stryker notices what's going on, and everybody jumps in, like, holding me back.
After you said, hold me back, hold me back.
Somebody hold me back quick. No, they did jump in front, and then somebody else jumped in front of the other guy, and he started walking away. I said, yeah, you walk.
Now you're smack-talking a guy that was 1 minute ago was going to kill you.
No, I didn't say that at all. I'm just kidding. I just let it go. But for that second, I was convinced I will die, and I will really try to get one punch in.
So
that was my goal.
My goal
was just that. I have low expectations. I just want to get a punch. I want it to hurt him a little if he kills me.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think the fight didn't happen, Kevin? Why did he stop? Because his girlfriend was holding him back?
Dumb people got in the middle and ruined it.
I think like 3 or 4 people that were in the area all kind of jumped in the middle because they could see in his eyes that I was a dead man.
Yeah.
And they could see in my eyes that I was a dead man.
No, they saw rage, and they saw the eye of the tiger in your eyes.
I was going to left hook him, Ralph. I was going to duck and left hook.
And give him with a clinched fist.
Would have been more like a slap.
Yeah, you should have had a spelling off with him instead of a fight.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
And then Ralph Garman stepped into the studio, walked up to the microphone, and said,
you're tragic.
Stop saying that to
me. That's true. You're tragic. You're a sad, sad man.
I don't think I'm
it
sad.
Makes me, that makes
I'm
me,
pathetic, but I'm not
makes
sad.
Makes me a little bit weepy.
I'm pathetic. Listen, I'll be the first to admit it.
All right.
You want to fight?
Not, I'm going to throw it down. I'll duck under his first punch, and then I'll hit him with a counter punch.
Yeah.
You will do. Oh.
This Frozen thing, I got a sense that this is going to be a big hit, this Frozen.
I think it already is.
I think it's going to take off. I like, hit. You know, people turn to me for the trend, you know, to see what's going on in the showbiz world. And I'm telling
you. Who turns to you for that?
If you want to get in front of the big wave of pop culture next, I would predict that Frozen, this new Disney film Frozen, is going to be a big, big hit.
It's already.
Okay, that's a good tip. No one's talking about it.
I just want to put it out there.
It's already a giant hit.
You have no idea what people are willing to go through to get the Frozen merch now, which apparently is sold out everywhere.
Oh, there is Frozen merch?
Are you kidding me?
It's Disney.
It's Disney, baby.
Of course.
That's true.
There was merch before there was a movie. My little girl, Olivia, had all the stuff before the movie came out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
She likes to go to the Disney store with my wife. I go to the mall there. And she's fascinated by everything that's going on there and the new stuff. She's like, oh, yeah, Elsa. I want to be Elsa. I was like, you haven't seen the movie. How do you know you want to be Elsa?
Maybe Elsa's a bad guy.
What if Elsa has herpes? You still want to be Elsa?
I don't
think
they...
That's what you said.
I yelled at her right in your little face. We don't know anything.
You're a stupid little kid.
You don't know. No. So, here's the thing. It's such a popular hit that they're sold out of everything. A Disney sales associate at one of the stores said, he says, has to say 200 times a day, we're all sold out of Frozen.
Wow.
Except apparently for... The Anna boots. The boots, you can still get those, but nobody really wants the boots.
Okay.
You know what they want? The limited edition Anna and Elsa dolls.
Okay, and those have been gone for a while?
Yes. You can find them on eBay, however, though. Right now, there's a pair of Elsa and her sister Anna, the limited edition dolls that you can only get at the Disney store. There's a pair
$9.99.
A little bit more than that. You're going to pay a little bit more than face value.
$19.99.
$10,000.
Oh, come on. Wait, is that a bid or that's the asking price?
That is the asking price of this particular set. That's the only set available on eBay right now. The other dolls are in the thousands as well with bids.
With bits.
That's bits.
Unbelievable. Wow. And they got to be like what? Like $30 items?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Here's one went for $1,200, a couple thousand, $3,000. The dresses, the Frozen dresses, the costumes, children's costumes for them to play, dress up as their favorite Frozen characters.
Right.
Another man paid $480 for one of those on eBay. Various and sundry other merchandise also going for the hundreds and thousands of dollars on eBay.
Look, I know that you want to make your little girl happy, but isn't part of life...
Take Ralph's approach.
You can't have everything in the world that you want all the time the minute you want it. Isn't part of growing up, hey, that's sold out, honey?
You don't know, man.
I don't know.
You don't know.
That's why I'm asking.
How are you going to prepare them for life where everything good... comes immediately to them all the time if you don't get them used to that as children.
I don't think that's what you're supposed to teach them.
That's what you're supposed to teach them. Oh, instant gratification.
So. Oh, okay.
Total wish fulfillment.
My bad.
That's how it is in our house.
But, Daddy, you have dolls.
Yeah, really.
Shut up.
It's hard for me to tell her she can't have whatever toy she wants when she sees my room. How can I keep her from playing with my stuff if I don't keep her plied with new stuff of her own? Just stay away from Daddy's toy box.
What's Olivia think about Batman?
She loves Batman.
Does she?
Yeah. She's a big fan of Batman and Robin.
She doesn't have a choice, but yeah.
She knows everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to live in the house. I guess she has to.
Knows their secret identities. Knows where they live, what they do. She's not down with the evil, the villains.
Oh, she doesn't like the villains?
No, she's not a fan. She's disturbed by the fact that they do bad things.
Okay. She should be, by
she
way.
Does not like bad people who do bad things. She always says, what's the Joker? What's he do? And I said, well, he takes things. You know, mostly he steals things, you know, takes things that aren't his. That is not nice. And I have to agree with her. Really,
I wish you're in the world.
Yeah, me too. I'm stunned and yet intrigued.
By?
By the fact that they are going ahead with the production of Fast and Furious 7, using stand-ins for Paul Walker to finish up the scenes that he couldn't film before he passed. And then that they asked his brothers, Caleb and Cody, to stand in for him, and they agreed. It doesn't surprise me that they would ask, because, look, production companies have done a lot worse things. to get their productions finished, but that the brothers say, yeah, okay, we'll step in and we'll help finish his last film. I guess it's sort of a nice homage to their late brother. But I think it's cool how they came together. They're just finishing up the film now, and they're using Caleb and Cody to stand in, and then they'll use CGI for anything they need to do to cover the discrepancies between the actors. But I thought that was pretty cool. While we're talking about comic books and comic book heroes, Andrew Garfield did an interview this week with a magazine called The Observer. He, of course, has The Amazing Spider-Man 2 coming out soon. And he said he owes his passion for comic books to bullies.
To bullies?
Yes. He was a small, skinny kid, and he got bullied a lot. And he said that drove him into a world of cartoons and comic books, fantasizing about being more powerful. And he said he found Spider-Man, and it changed his life.
See, kids, bullying is good.
That's right. Without bullies,
that's the message,
we wouldn't have
right?
successful nerds
right.
who take all that rage and channel it into being successful and then getting back at you when the bullies are all losers working at gas stations and they're running the world.
Hey, I think a lot of the great inventions of the 20th and 21st centuries wouldn't exist if those guys had been able to get girls.
That's true. You got to focus that energy someplace, right?
Right.
And while we're talking about girls, a lot of people asked, why did Nirvana ask four women to be the lead singers for the reformed Nirvana for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction?
I think that was a smart choice.
It was a genius choice, first of all, because you're automatically dispelling any sort of comparisons between anyone who sings and Kurt.
Oh, he doesn't sound like Kurt.
Right. You don't want to go through that. So you have women do it, and you sidestep all that, right? But on top of that, Chris Novoselic told Rolling Stone magazine that it was his idea initially to get Joan Jett to sing Smells Like Teen Spirit. They were just going to do that one. And then Dave Grohl said, we should do all female singers. And that's when they brought in Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth, that Chris said represented the punk side of the band, St. Vincent, Lord. They said they're all up-and-coming, powerful women in rock and roll, and we loved their work, and we thought it would add something. And by all accounts, we will see it when HBO finally airs the special. But by all accounts, the people there, it was amazing to watch those women sing those songs. So those guys know how to do it, don't they?
They really sure do. Muse did, I believe it was Lithium this past weekend at Coachella, and it was fantastic. Everybody was singing along.
That's pretty cool.
It was really cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lucas Haas is 38 years old today. Singer Akon is 41.
His name, Ralph?
I don't have it here with me.
Oh,
I should have printed that out. Kevin, maybe you can get on that. Can you pull that up on the computer there? Maybe you can read it for us. Chip, pull that up for Kevin so he can read Akon's name for us, won't you? Just type in Akon.
Apparently he goes by Akon, which is his actual first name, but he has a very lengthy name with a lot of syllables.
Yeah, so Kevin's going to read it for us. There you go, Kevin. There you go. Knock it out.
That is Aliyun Damala Badara Thiam. Keep going. That's all I got. Is there more?
Look at the Wikipedia entry there.
Okay, hang on.
Hold on. Here we go. There you go.
That's
the name. That's the real one.
Aliyun Damala Buga Time Bongo Peru Naka Lululu Badara Akon Thiam.
There you go.
That is his name. All of those words are his name.
I guarantee it's not time.
Okay. I'm not saying I said it right.
I'm just saying.
All of those words.
I think it's Aleune is actually the first.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I wasn't claiming to be right. You were forcing me to say it.
Damalabuga. Kime.
All right.
Bongo Peru Naka Naka Lululu Badara Ikan Tayam.
Want to fight?
I'll throw it at him
right now.
That's well done. I got thrown into him. Wasn't my fault.
Is he the only celebrity with Bongo as a middle name?
No. George Herbert Walker Bongo Bush.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Patriot Coach Bill Belichick is 62 years old today. Actress Ellen Barkin turned 60. Singer David Perner Soul Asylum is 50. Martin Lawrence is 49. John Cryer also 49 today. Peter Billingsley, Little Ralphie from The Christmas Story, 43 years old. Akon, as we celebrate his birthday, 41 years old today. And Lucas Haas celebrates his 38th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning at all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Jim Rash in the studio. Plays Dean Pelton, of course.
Very
Academy
funny.
Award winner.
Yep.
You think he knows he's doing our show yet?
Nope.
I doubt it. Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow. We have hockey tickets for you. The Ducks play the